Sach Ramakda recording an interview with Roger Cave on Friday the 4th of November at Highfields Library, Leicester. Roger, can you give me your full name, your place of birth?
My name is Roger John Cave, and I was born in Leicester on the 2nd of March 1940.
Do you know where you were born?
I was actually born at Westcote's Nursing Home on the Narborough Road area of the city.
Can you tell me a bit about your family background?
Yes. My mother and father, they were both born in Highfields. In fact, my father, he was born in Twycross Street, just over the road from where we lived after he got married. He was one of five brothers. They gradually got dispersed. One went to live in Carlisle. The others remained in Leicester, and his mother and father, they carried on living in Twycross Street in Highfields until their deaths. My grandmother, she died in 1963, and my grandfather, he died in 1968. My mother's parents, they also lived in Highfields, and they lived in Connaught Street, and they lived there till they died. I think my grandfather, he died in 1955, and my grandmother, she died in 1973. I think she was about 89 when she died. Although my own mother, she died in 1946, and she was only 32, and she died of TB, which was quite common in those days. During a working life, from what my father has said, she worked in an office at the solicitor's office, but then that, I believe, went bankrupt, and then she worked in the hosiery trade then until I was born. My father, he worked in a factory. I think he worked for a firm called Dalmas, which made plasters for a first aid treatment, and I think in general sticking plasters. During the war, he was in the Home Guard. He failed the medical to be taken into the regular army.
How old were you when your mother died?
I was 6 years old when she died.
So can you remember anything about the funeral?
No, I didn't attend the funeral. She died in Groovy Road Hospital, which in those days was used as a sanatorium. It was on the edge of town. I think it's just recently been closed down, but that was used for people with TB. Mm-hmm. I think it had been used for, I think it was built for that purpose, really. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember too much about just the odd thing, you know, because it's such a long time ago, you know, and I was very young at the time.
Yeah. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I've just got one stepbrother. I was the only child from my parents, and I've got one stepbrother from when my father remarried in 1950. Mm-hmm. And he married an Irish lady, and she already had a son, and so there were just the two of us.
Right. And can you tell me a little bit about your house that you stayed in?
Well, the house we stayed in, it's still standing, and it's a six-roomed, ordinary six-roomed terraced house. In the early days, it didn't have a bathroom The bath, we had a bathroom put in, but that wasn't till 1950 time. Before that, we used to make do with a tin bath, which would be brought out on a Friday night in front of the fire in the living room. I think, well, you know, everybody sort of managed like that. I think this was like a standard bath, you know, about 6 foot in length, that would sort of, you'd keep in the backyard, and then it would be brought out on a Friday night, you know, and you'd sort of, the ritual of having this bath then, you know, and it was such a lot of trouble that probably that's the reason it was only brought out probably once a week.
Yeah, right.
But then grants for bath, for home improvement started coming, I would think, say, about the 1950s, and then we had a bathroom then, and then we were reduced to two bedrooms.
Right. So you lived in a six-bedroom house, which is quite large for a terraced...
Six-roomed house.
Six-roomed.
Just six rooms, yeah. Yeah, the six rooms. I'm thinking of the three bedrooms upstairs, kitchen, living room and front room then, making the six rooms. And there was an outside toilet. And also, earlier on, I remember during the war years, there was a shelter in the yard... that I think everybody had, really, in case of any bombs dropping. And also we used to keep our own chickens then, because of the shortage of people working on farms and that, you know, they had to be a bit self-contained, so we had our own chickens. And also, Father had his own allotment, and that was on Victoria Park. An area of that was turned into allotments. In the street itself, I mean, I don't know if anybody owned a car, you know, it was just perhaps the odd vehicle. But there was a lot more shops than small shops than there is now. I can remember them being there was an off licence, just in a small area really, from Gopsall Street to Melbourne Road. There was an off licence. A newsagent's, there was a fish and chip shop, a shoe repair shop, a haberdashery shop, and a general grocery shop. That was in quite a small area, really. And every street would be the same like that. I think a lot of these shops have gone now, and they've been turned into houses. I can even remember them delivering bread and milk, and it was a horse and cart that delivered it in those days. The school I went to was St Peter's School in Gopsall Street, and that was a Church of England school, and that was quite kept quite close to the church, more than what the Church of England schools are today. The vicar and the curate used to come twice a week, and we would have to say prayers in the mornings. And the school, it housed quite a lot of children. I suppose it must have been, there perhaps were up to 400 there. It was a through school from nursery through to junior. And there were two classes in each year, so there were quite a lot of children in the school itself.
Was there any sort of punishment for naughty children, should I say?
Oh, yeah, yes. They were very strict, very strict. And you could quite easily get the cane. You could be hit on the hand with a cane. The headmaster then was very strict. And you didn't really get many disciplinary problems because of that. And I think most parents sort of accepted it as well, really, you know, so it was quite, there's a lot of discipline there.
What about the building? Has it changed in any way today than what it was then? Much?
The outside structures remain the same of it. I mean, it's used now as an annex to the new Barkino Primary School. So the outside of the old building is still the same, although inside it's been altered. There's been rooms have been knocked through, and the classrooms have sort of been rearranged. But basically it's the same, really. A lot of it is the original structure, just that mainly I think the heating system has been altered. And I think there used to be some outside toilets there, which are all been incorporated into the building now. It's sort of been brought up to a modern standard, but the basic structure is still the same there, really, mm-hmm. on that.
Okay.
After leaving St. Peter's School, I went to secondary modern school, and that was called Dale School. And that was down Melbourne Road, you know, more or less opposite where the library is situated, on the opposite side of Melbourne Road, that
right.
building. That was a secondary modern school called Dale then.
Yeah.
And when on leaving the junior school at 11, you went there for 3 years till I was 15. But I was only there for four years. You went there for 4 years till you were 15. I left there after the second year and went to grammar school in town, Gateway Boys. at the school, at the secondary school, I can remember it was something that I don't think they do now at schools, but they used to have boxing, and it used to be... We used to use St Hilda's Church, which was over the road. We used to use their church hall, and they used to have a boxing competition, you know, which I don't think would be allowed these days, you know. I think it'd be classed as too dangerous.
Yes, I should think it would, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you used to walk to school?
Yes, I'd walk to school, yes, not living far away.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was fairly safe for a young lad to walk?
Yes, very safe to walk there, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we all used to come home at dinner time as well. There were no school dinners then.
Right.
I can't remember them being any school dinners, and we all used to come home then.
Can you remember anything about the war?
What I can remember about the war, I can remember the shortage of food, you know. It was, although I'd never known any, being born in 1940, I'd never known sort of an abundance of food anyway, because I'd grown up with a ration, but it always seemed that, and I suppose we got used to it to a certain extent, but, you know, because of that, there wasn't a lot of variety, you know, in the food that we had. I was a bit young to remember the bombing, but from what my parents said, in 1940 when I was born, in the November probably, when the Germans did drop a string of bombs on our fields, I was taken in a clothes basket when they had the air raid warning. I was taken to St Peter's School then, and that was used as a meeting point, because the building had been shored up then with extra with timber to sort of so it withstand the blast of bombs. Mm-hmm. And when the siren went, we went to the school to shelter from any bombing. Mm-hmm. And I remember my parents said they took me in a clothes basket there, you know, while the bombs dropped. And in fact, the night that we were there, there was a bomb dropped only about 100 yards away from the school building,
mm-hmm.
on the corner of Gopsall Street and Sparkenhoe Street. And then there was a string of bombs dropped in Highfield Street and down Sparkenhoe Street. And then after the war, these areas weren't developed for quite a few years, probably 3 or 4 years after the war, and we used to, as a child, we used to use that as a play area on the bomb sites. Of course, since then, they've all been made into, they've all had new buildings. For a number of years now, those areas have been built on.
It must have been terrifying for you every time you heard the siren.
Yes, I think I think the bombs were only dropped one night on Ifields, but there was other warnings when the sirens would go off. And I think these sirens were situated on Victoria Park.
Mm-hmm.
Plus there was anti-aircraft guns on there as well, for the defence of Leicester, and particularly Ifields there. Yeah, so you'd hear the sirens go off. They were quite a high-pitched wail, you know, which would be quite frightening, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you have to wear the gas masks? And
yes, we did have those. I vaguely remember those, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. We did have those. Yeah.
Was there an air raid shelter in Gopson Street then?
No, the only thing was the school, just in Gopson. It was just the
schooling.
Just the school. But we would have individual ones in our own backyard as well.
I see.
Where it was like a corrugated sheet of corrugated iron sheet, which was curved over as a shelter,
mm-hmm.
and was sort of submerged into the ground, you know, and you'd go down steps to it.
Were these made for use during the war? Or
yes, just for use during the war. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. After the war, they were. You know, you'd dig the shelter, we dug the shelter up.
Right.
But I think most houses in the city had those then, really. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking now of where the bombs dropped on Highfield Street and Spark and Hoe Street. What buildings are standing there now? And I think the main ones are that Spark and Hoe School, that stands on a bomb site. That was put up on an area that had been knocked down with the bombs. And also over the other side of the road, that was opposite the school. That was corner of Gopsall Street. That was built as a utility building, although it's still standing now, that is. And that was built up as a day nursery. But the original Spark and Hoe School was called Ifields Infants, and that was more of a utility building. It was built on the bomb site after the war. And I believe that remained like that till about 1986 time, when they built a new school there then.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about transport? How did you used to get about to, say, shopping in the city centre?
Well, often we would walk. I think there's a lot more walking done than there is nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the general thing. Although, if you were loaded up with shopping and that, we used to use the trams. And there was the buses as well. There was buses and trams.
Where did you used to catch the trams from?
The trams used to run on London Road.
Right.
Which wasn't too far away from where we live, so you could catch the trams and that would take you then into the centre, into the clock tower then, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could catch the tram then up, back up London Road, and probably get off. I think we used to get off the corner of Highfield Street and London Road, so you had to walk down Highfield Street. And then the trams then carried on to out to Stoneygate and to where the racecourse is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about your leisure activities when you were a child or a teenager?
Well, when I was a child, my main leisure activities, I used to enjoy playing football. And we used to always be playing football, really. Because I remember after the war, say 1946, after my mother died, I went to live with my grandparents on my mother's side in Connaught Street. And my grandfather, he was a football fanatic, and he sort of encouraged me with football. And I always used to be playing football most of the time. On Victoria Park, we used to be playing there. And then, in those days, football was quite a thing. It was more of a sporting activity than it is now in schools. I mean, there would be there'll be football leagues, and every school team, juniors team, would play on a Saturday morning against another school, which doesn't seem to be the case now, really. It seems to have sort of died out, that does. So sport, I was very keen on football. I was also very keen on drawing as well, because in those days we didn't have any television set.
Right.
So a lot of the time would be spent sort of reading, drawing, or playing with toy soldiers. That was another passion of mine, to play with soldiers. So you sort of made your own sort of entertainment, really, like mm-hmm. that.
Did he visit the cinemas at all?
Yes, he went to the cinema quite often, because there was more cinemas there then. And in fact, the local cinemas, there was the Evington Cinema on the corner of
Chesterfield
Road there. That was the Evington Cinema. We used to go there quite often. And there'd be special children's matinees and that. And I think Saturday afternoon, I think we used to go. There'd be a special programme for children. And also, we used to go to the Melbourne Cinema as well.
Right.
Bottom of Melbourne Road there, you know, that yes. building down there. That was the cinema for a long while.
Yeah.
So we used to go there. So there were plenty of cinemas. Yeah, that sort of was a good substitute for television, really.
Yes, yeah. It was an outing for you as well.
Yeah. Although then but I can remember, it was probably about 1950, that one of my uncles, in fact his uncle, they made their own television sets, started to make their own television sets.
Yeah.
They weren't electricians by trade, but they're that used to it by doing it as a hobby. And I think they're amateur radio broadcasters, and they built their own television set out of a radiogram, like a big wooden cabinet that would house like a radio and a record player. Well, they converted that, cut a piece out the front, and put the television tube sticking through that. Mm-hmm. It had only a small 9-inch screen,
mm-hmm.
and they made their own television set. I think that was about now. I remember clustering around this at Christmas. That one must
have
been
clever,
about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must have been 1948 or to 50, around that area.
Yeah.
It wasn't too long after the war,
right.
But the uncle who did it, he was in the RAF during the war, and he used to work on radar, and I think that gave him an insight into it.
Right, I see.
And then he'd been interested in amateur radio as well, so I remember them building this set, because I think we probably bought a set at home probably in about 1953 or something like that, when it's, you know, 54 when it started to take off more commercially.
Do you remember Spinney Park at all? Spinney Hill Park?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, we used to play on Spinney Hill Park quite often. And particularly what I remember about Spinney Hill Park, there used to be a big pavilion that stood at the top where you could get teas and things like that. But during the winter, I think the winters tended to be a bit colder than they are now. And it would all... and then for probably for a week or so, perhaps a couple of weeks, we'd have a heavy fall of snow and it'd freeze over. And we used to go sledging there. It was quite an attraction, that was. People would come all over to bring the sledges and use Spinney Hill Park as a sleigh run like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it was one of two, but then it was a bit hazardous though, because there's a few big trees in that split up the main slope, and I know there was at least one fatal accident there where somebody had run into a tree at the bottom. Okay. They couldn't sort of stop in time or couldn't swerve by it.
Yeah. Was that park used in the war at all? Or anything?
I don't remember whether it was. There probably would be an air raid shed perhaps built on it. I don't know. I can't remember that. But I remember, another thing that I do remember, though, that in Twycross Street itself, although we had our own little shelters and we could go to the school as well, I can remember there was an air raid shelter in the street itself, a brick building with a concrete roof. I can remember that now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember that because I remember when I was a child, for bonfire night, we used to collect all the rubbish, and after the war, we used to store it in this air raid shelter in the street.
Right. Can you tell me about bonfires night?
Yeah, bonfires to it used to be quite a thing because they haven't got the restrictions on it that they have now, and every street in the area would have at least two bonfires at either end of the street, even though they were perhaps dangerously close to buildings. You know, they would still have them, and they'd be permitted. Nobody said anything about it. You know, and we would have fireworks and let them off round the bonfire.
Right.
But I mean, the street light to Acre Street, which crosses Melbourne Road,
mm-hmm.
it's in two parts. You could probably have as many as four bonfires in the one street. You know.
Right. Oh gosh.
So anybody from a distance looked, the whole area was ablaze.
So a lot of people used to come out the street from the street and
yes.
just join in and.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was probably more sort of community sort of atmosphere than mm-hmm. there perhaps would be now in most areas, I think, really, like that.
Can you remember the Bobby on the Beat or anything about the law in that time?
Yeah, we used to get the police come round, walking round, and they used to carry a lot of authority, you know, everybody would be afraid of the policemen, really, you know, they'd sort of have a lot of respect for the law. In fact, my grandfather on the other side, he was in the police force. I think he was in the police force from about 1905 to 1930, I think it was. And he used to have a board up outside his house saying that he was a police constable, so he'd virtually be sort of me on call 24 hours a day, and that was in North
right.
Street.
Yeah.
So people, if there were any trouble or any problems, could knock on his door any time.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember burglaries taking place in Highfields at all?
Not really, no. I don't think there wasn't a lot of crime like that, no. I think, you know, particularly after the war and that, I think everybody wanted to get back on the feet, you know, and I think there was more of an atmosphere, I think, of all pulling together, really, you know, and there wasn't the... I must have been burglaries, but nothing to the extent that there is now. You know, you could walk out and leave your doors unlocked, you know, mm-hmm. nobody would... you could be quite safe like that. You could trust your neighbours, you know.
Yeah.
And they would probably have lived there for years, and you know, there wasn't the movement of people in the area. People sort of stayed put, there weren't the sort of buying and selling houses all the while. So you knew the people in the locality.
Mm.
But no, there wasn't a lot of burglaries.
Mm. What about your local doctor? Was he in Highfields too? Was she?
Yeah, so what... I remember he wasn't too far away, in fact, just living into Acre Street. He was in a house on the corner of Highfield Street and St Peter's Road, more or less facing St Peter's Church.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite handy like that. I think there were two doctors in the practice then.
Can you remember the riots that took place a couple of years ago in Highfields?
Yeah, yes, I remember them. We've been in the fire service, I can remember them, although I was on holiday when that took place. I think it took place mainly over one or two nights, I believe, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know from what the other firemen said, you know, it was quite frightening, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that they had to adapt a certain procedure in case they got attacked, because... Though they'd been called to the fire, it was very easy. They had to be careful that they didn't drive into a situation, and then when they were dealing with the fire, they would run the hose out to the fire engine from the street hydrant, And then if they were attacked by any group, they wouldn't be able to get out. So the procedure had to be that they, if they had a fire in a particular street, or particularly a cul-de-sac area, which is mostly the case in Highfields, they had to reverse into the area and then use the load. But then by reversing in, if any trouble arose, they could easily, quickly drive out.
Right.
And perhaps protect themselves like that.
I see. So when did you join the fire brigade?
In 1963.
Right. And was this the local... where was this based, the fire station?
This was at Lancaster Road station, and then it was called Leicester City Fire Brigade.
Right.
Although now it's Leicestershire Fire and Rescue Service. It was in 1974...